to love it and to let it rain in their midst, offering their souls to let it dwell within their hearts, that it may be able to form its life in them. And the bond of inseparability will be added between you, the Mother, and the Eternal Word. These three missions are distinct and inseparable. The first two have prepared the graces, the light, the work, and everything with unheard of pains. For the third mission of my will, in order to be all fused in it without leaving their office, so as to find rest, because my will alone is celestial rest. These two missions will be repeated because their exuberance of grace, of light, of knowledge is so great that all human generations can be filled with them. Even more, they will not be able to contain all the goods which they contain. These two missions are symbolized by the sun, since in creating it, I filled it with so much light and heat that all human generations can enjoy it in superabundance. Nor did I take it into account that since in the beginning of creation there were only Adam and Eve on earth, I could have placed in the sun enough light as to be sufficient only for the two of them, making it then grow in proportion to the growth of the human generations. Now, I made the sun full of light, just as it is now and will be, for the decorum and the honor of our power, wisdom, and love. Our works are always made with the fullness of all goods which they contain, nor are they subject to increase or decrease. So I did with the sun. I centralized it in it all the light which it was to serve up to the last man. But how much good does the sun not do to the earth? What glory does it not give to its creator with its mute light? I can say, for the immense good it does to the earth with its mute language, the sun glorifies me and makes me known more than all other things together. And this, because it is full in its light and stable in its course. When I look at the sun, which with so much light only Adam and Eve could enjoy, I also looked at all the living, and in seeing that the light was to serve all, my paternal goodness exalted with joy, and I remained glorified in my works. So I did with my dear mama. I fitted her with so much grace that she can give grace to all without ever exhausting even one of them. So I did with my humanity. There is no good which it does not possess, and the very divinity to be able to give it to whomever wants it. So I did with you. I enclosed in you my will, and with it I enclosed myself. I enclosed in you its knowledges, its secrets, its light. I filled your soul up to the brim, so much so that what you write is nothing other than the outpouring of what you contain of my will. And even though it now serves you alone, and a few glimmers of light serve some other souls, I am content because, being light, it will make its way by itself more than a second sun in order to illuminate the human generations and to bring about the fulfillment of our works, that our will be known and loved, and that it reign as life within the creatures. This was the purpose of creation. This was its beginning. This will be its means and end. Therefore, be attentive, because This is about rescuing that eternal will with so much love wants to dwell in the creature. But it wants to be known. It does not want to be like a stranger. Rather, it wants to give out its goods and become life of each one. But it wants its rights whole, its place of honor. It wants the human will to be banished, the only enemy for it and for man. The mission of my will was the purpose of the creation of man. My divinity did not depart from heaven, from its throne. My will instead not only departed, but descended into all created things and formed its life in them. However, while all things recognized me, and I dwell in them with majesty and decorum, man alone drove me away. But I want to conquer him and win him, and this is why my mission is not finished. So I called you, entrusting to you my own mission, that you may place the one who drove me away on the lap of my will, and everything may return to me in my will. Therefore, do not be surprised at the great and marvelous things I may tell you for the sake of this mission, or at the many graces I may give you, because this is not about making a saint, but about saving the generations. This is about rescuing a divine will for which everything must return to the beginning, to the origin from which everything came, so that the purpose of my will may have its complete fulfillment.
May 10th, 1925. Different ways of fusing oneself in the divine will. In the divine will, there is a void of the human acts which must be done in it. I write only out of obedience, and I will make a mix of past things and present things. Many times in my writings I say, I was fusing myself in the holy divine volition, and I do not explain further. Now, forced by obedience, I will say what happiness to me in fusing myself. As I fuse myself, an immense void, all of light, becomes present before my mind, such that one can find neither the extent of its height, nor of its depth, nor the boundaries on the right or on the left, nor those on the front or on the back. In the midst of this immensity, at a point extremely high, I seem to see the divinity, or the three divine persons waiting for me, but this always mentally. And I don't know how a little girl comes out of me, but it is my own self. Maybe it is my little soul. But it is moving to see this little girl placing herself on the way within the immense empty space. All alone, shy, walking on tiptoe, with her eyes always fixed on the place where she sees the three divine persons, because she fears that if she hovers, that if she lowers her gaze in that immense void, she wouldn't know at which point she would end up. All her strength is in that gaze fixed on high. In fact, as her gaze is corresponded by the gaze of the supreme height, she draws strength along the way. Now, as she arrives before them, she plunges herself with her face into that void to adore the divine majesty. But one hand from the divine persons, the little girl, and they say to her, our daughter, the little daughter of our will, come into our arms. In hearing this, she became festive, and makes the three divine persons festive as they await the carrying out of her office entrusted to her by them. And with grace typical of a little girl, she says, I come to adore you, to bless you, to thank you for all. I come to bind to your throne all human wills of all generations, from the first to the last man, that all may recognize your supreme will, adore it, love it, and give it life within their souls. Supreme Majesty, in this immense void, there are all creatures. I want to take them all in order to place them in your holy will, so that all may return to you, to the origin from which they came. That is your will. This is why I have come into your paternal arms, to bring you all your children and brothers of mine, and bind them all with your will. And in the name of all and for all, I want to repair you, give you the homage and the glory, as if you all done your most holy will. Oh, please, I pray you, let there be no more separation between divine will and human will. It is a little girl who asks this of you, and I know that you can deny nothing to the little ones. But who can say everything? I would be too long, in addition to the fact that I lack the words to express what I say before the supreme height. Seems to me that here in the low world, we do not use the same language as in that immense void. Other times, then, when I've used myself in the divine volition, and that immense void comes before my mind, I go around through all created things, and I impress on them, and I love you for the supreme majesty, as though wanting to fill the whole atmosphere with my many I love yous, in order to requite the supreme love for so much love toward the creatures. Even more, I go around through each thought of creature. I impress in them my I love you through each gaze, and I leave my I love you within them. Through each mouth and each word, I seal in them my I love you. Through each heartbeat, work, and step, and I cover them with my I love you to my God. I go down deep into the sea, into the depths of the ocean, and I want to fill each darting of the fish, each drop of water, with my I love you. Then after she has those sowed my I love you everywhere, the little girl herself brings herself before the divine majesty as though wanting to give him a surprise. She says, my creator, my father, my Jesus, and my eternal love, look, all things on the part of all creatures tell you that they love you. Everywhere there is an I love you for you. Heaven and earth are filled with them. And you, will you not concede to your tiny little one that your will descend into the midst of creatures, make itself known, make peace with the human will, and as it takes its just dominion, its place of honor, no creature may ever do her will again, but always yours. Other times then, while I fuse myself in the divine volition, I want to feel sorrow for all the offenses given to my God, and I resume my round within that immense void in order to find all the sorrow that Jesus felt for all sins. I make it my own, and I go around everywhere in the most hidden and secret places, public places, over all evil human acts, to feel sorrow for the offenses and for each sin. I feel I would want to cry out at each motion of creature, sorrow, forgiveness, and so that all may hear it, I impress it on the numbing of thunder, so that sorrow for having offended my God may thunder in all hearts. Forgiveness in the striking of lightning, sorrow in the whistling of the wind, sorrow, forgiveness in the tinkling of the bells, in some sorrow and forgiveness in everything. Then I bring to my God the sorrow of all. I implore forgiveness for all. And I say, great God, let your will descend upon earth so that sin may take place no more. It is the human will alone that produces so many offenses as to seem to be flooding the earth with sins. Your will be the destroyer of all evils. Therefore, I pray you, make the little daughter of your will content, who wants nothing else but that your will be known and loved, and that it reign in all hearts. I remember that one day I was fusing myself in the Holy Divine Volition, and I was looking at the sky as it was pouring with rain. Felt great pleasure in seeing water pouring down over the earth, and my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior with unspeakable love and tenderness, told me, my daughter, in those drops of water which you see descending from the heavens, there is my will. My will runs rapidly together with the water. It departs in order to quench the thirst of creatures, to descend into the human bowels, into their veins, in order to refresh them, to constitute itself life of the creatures, and to bring them my kiss, my love. It departs in order to water the earth, to fecundate it, and to prepare the food for them. It departs for many other needs of creatures. My will wants to have life in all created things, in order to give celestial and natural life to all creatures. However, while it goes toward all as though in feast and full of love, it does not receive the adequate requital, and it remains as though on an empty stomach on the part of the creatures. My daughter, your will also, fused in mine, runs with that within that water that rains down from the heavens. It runs together with it wherever it goes. Never leave it alone, and give it the requital of your love and for all. But as he was saying this, my pupils remained enchanted. I could not move them from that pouring water. My will was running with it. And in that water, I could see the hands of my Jesus multiplied into many in order to bring water to all with his very hands. But who can say what I felt within me? Only Jesus can say it, he who is the author of it. And who can say the many ways of fusing myself in his most holy volition? For now I have said enough. If Jesus wants, he will give me the words and the grace to say more, and I will resume my speaking. In addition to this, I was saying to my Jesus, tell me, my love, what is this void that makes itself present before my mind when I fuse myself in your most holy will? Who is this little girl that comes out of me, and why does she feel an irresistible force to come to your throne in order to place her little axe on the divine lap, almost to make a feast for him? And my sweet Jesus, all goodness, told me, my daughter, the void is my will, placed at your disposal, which should be filled with so many acts for as many as the creatures could have done, had they fulfilled our will. This immense void that you see, which represents our will, came out from our divinity for the good of all in creation, in order to make everyone and everything happy. Therefore, consequently, all creatures should have filled this void with the requital of their acts and the offering of their wills to their Creator. But since they did not do so, giving us the greatest offense, we called you with a special mission to be compensated for and requited with what the others owed to us. And this is the reason why. First, we disposed you with a long chain of graces, and then we asked you if you want to live in our will, and you accepted with a yes, binding your will to our throne, wanting to know it never again, because human will and divine will do not combine, nor can they live together. Now that yes, that is your will, exists, bound tightly to our throne, and this is why your soul, like a little girl, is drawn before the Supreme Majesty, because there is your will before us that draws you like a magnet, and you, instead of looking at your will, occupy yourself only with bringing onto our lap everything you have been able to do in our will, and you place every will in our bosom as the greatest homage which befits us and the requital most pleasing to us. Your heedlessness of your will and our will, which alone lives in you, make us festive. Your little acts done in our will bring us the joys of the whole creation. So it seems that everything smiles at us, makes feasts for us, and seeing that you descend from our throne without even looking at your will, carrying our will within you, is the greatest joy for us. This is why I always say to you, be attentive to our will, because in it there is much to do. And the more you do, the greater the feast you will make for us, and our volition will pour out in torrents inside and outside of you.
Wow, good job, Rita.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any comments about that reading? It was something. May 17th, 1925. Continuation of the previous chapter. Other ways to fuse oneself in the divine will. First, in return for creation, and then for redemption. After I had the confessor hear what is written above, with the date of May 10th on fusing myself in the divine volition, he was not satisfied and ordered me to continue to write about the way to fuse myself in the holy divine volition. So out of obedience and for fear that my Jesus might even slightly be disappointed, I continue. Now I add that as the immense void comes before my mind, infusing myself in the supreme volition, the little child begins her round again, and rising up high, she wants to repay her God for all the love he had for all creatures in creation. She wants to honor him as creator of all things. And so she goes around the stars, and in the flickering of light, I impress my I love you and glory to my creator. In every atom of light of the sun that comes down, my I love you and glory. In the whole expanse of the heavens, between the distance from one step to another, my I love you and glory. In the warbling of the bird, in the beating of its wings, love and glory to my Creator. In the blade of grass which sprouts from the earth, in the flower that blooms, in the fragrance that ascends, love and glory. On the peak of the mountains and in the depths of the valleys, love and glory. I wander through every heart of creature as though wanting to enclose myself and shout from within to every heart, my, I love you and glory to my Creator. And then, as if I had gathered everything together in such a way that everything gives return of love and recognition of glory for all that God has done in creation. I go to his throne and I say to him, Supreme Majesty and Creator of all things, this little child comes into your arms to tell you that all of creation, in the name of all creatures, gives you not only return of love, but also the just glory for the so many things you created for love of us. In your will, in this immense empty space, I wandered everywhere so that all things may glorify you, love you, and bless you. And now that I have put in relation the love between Creator and creature, which your human will had broken, as well as the glory that everyone owed you, let your will descend upon earth, that it may bind and strengthen all the relations between Creator and creature, and so that all things may return to the original order established by you. Therefore, hurry, do not delay any longer. Don't you see how the earth is full of evils? Your will alone can stop this current and save it. Your will known and ruling. After this, I feel that my office is still not complete, so I descend to the bottom of that empty space in order to repay Jesus for the work of redemption. And as though finding all that he did in act, I want to give him my return for all the acts that all creatures should have done in waiting for him and receiving him upon earth. Then, as though wanting to transform all of myself into love for Jesus, I go back to my refrain and I say, I love you, in the act of descending from heaven to be incarnated, and I impress my I love you in the act of being conceived in the most pure womb of the Virgin Mary. I love you in the first drop of blood which was formed in your humanity. I love you in the first beat of your heart to mark all your heartbeats with my I love you. I love you in your first breath. I love you in your first pains. I love you in the first tears you shed in the maternal womb. I want to return your prayers, your reparations, your offerings with my I love you. I love you in your birth. I love you in the cold you suffered. I love you in each drop of milk that you suckled from your most holy mama. I want to fill my I love yous, the clothes with which your mama swaddled you. I lay my I love you upon the ground on which your mama placed you in the manger, as your most tender limbs felt the hardness of the hay. But more than of hay, the hardness of hearts. My I love you in each of your wailings, in all the tears and sufferings of your childhood. I make my I love you flow in all the relations and communications and love you had with your immaculate mama. I love you in her dearest kisses, in each word you said, in the food you took, in the steps you took, in the water you drank. I love you in the work you did with your hands. I love you in all the acts you did during your hidden life. I see on my I love you in each one of your interior acts and in the pains you suffered. I lay my I love you upon the past you covered, in the air you breathed, in all the sermons you made during your public life. My I love you flows in the power of the miracles you made, in the sacraments you instituted, in everything, O my Jesus, even in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I impress my I love you for me and for all. Your will makes everything present to me, and nothing do I want to leave in which my I love you is not impressed. Your little daughter of your will feels this duty, as there's nothing else she can do that you may have at least my little I love you for everything you did for me and for all. Therefore, my I love you follows you in all the pains of your passion, in all the spit, scorn, and insults they gave you. My I love you seals every drop of the blood you shed, every blow you received, every wound that formed in your body, each thorn that transfixed your head, the bitter pains of the crucifixion, the words you pronounced on the cross. Up to your last breath, I intend to impress my I love you. I want to enclose all your life, all your acts with my I love you. I want you to touch, see, and feel my continuous I love you. My I love you will never leave you. Your very will is the life of my I love you. But do you know what this little child wants? That the divine will of your Father, which you love so much, and which you did do during all your life upon earth, make itself known to all creatures, so that all may love it and fulfill your will, on earth as it is in heaven. This little child wants to surpass you in love, so that you may give your will to all creatures. Please, make this poor little one happy, who wants nothing but what you want, that your will be known and reign upon earth. Now I believe that obedience will be happy in some way. Though it is true in many things, I had to make a few jumps, otherwise I would never end. Fusing myself in the divine volition is like a springing font for me, and every tiny thing I hear and see, even one offense given to my Jesus, is occasion for me for new ways and new fusions in his most holy will. Now I continue by saying that my sweet Jesus told me, my daughter, to all you have said on fusing yourself in my will, another application must be added, that of fusing yourself in the order of grace, in all that the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, has done and will do to those who are to be sanctified. Furthermore, while we, the three divine persons, remain always united in working, if creation is related to the Father and redemption to the Son, the fiat voluntas tua was attributed to the Holy Spirit, and it is exactly in the fiat voluntas tua that the divine Spirit will display his work. You do it when, in coming before the Supreme Majesty, you say, I come to give love in return for everything which the sanctifier does to those who are sanctified. I come to enter into the order of grace to give you glory and return of love as if all had become saints, and to prepare you for all the oppositions and lack of correspondence to grace. And as much as you can, in our will, you search for the acts of grace of the Spirit Sanctifier in order to make your own his sorrow, his secret moans, his anguishing sighs in the depths of their hearts, on seeing himself unwelcome. And since the first act he does is to bring our will as the complete act of their sanctification, on seeing himself rejected, he moans with inexpressible moans. And in your childlike simplicity, you say to him, Spirit Sanctifier, hurry, I implore you, I beg you, let everyone know your will, so that in knowing it, they may love it and welcome your prime act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. My daughter, we, the three divine persons, are inseparable and distinct, and in this way do we want to manifest to the human generations our works for them. While remaining united within ourselves, each one of us wants to manifest individually his love and his work for the creatures.
Well,
oh, wow. Okay, we'll stop there. Thanks, everyone. God bless you all. Fiat.